Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking part in the revenues call 2Q 2022 from Eneva. Just before we start with this call, please be attentive to the disclaimer in slide number two. So now, moving to slide number three, I'd like to present you with the highlights of the quarter and our most recent advancements. We've had an adjusted EBITDA of 503 million reais, representing a growth of 33% with regards to 2Q 2021. Even in a scenario of low dispatch, if compared to the first quarter of 2021, the company presented an EBITDA growth, specifically in the Argentina exports from June, in the beginning of the commercial operations of OPR, Jaguatirica, and Roraima, and the fixed margins of all the plants. In order to be able to finish with the CELSE purchasing, we had this primary offer of 4.2 billion with final capture of 4.2 billion reais. We closed the second quarter with 5 billion reais in cash, and with that, our leveraging was lowered to 2.2x net debt over EBITDA. It was an exceptional quarter to the company, and we've made great achievements with our expansion plans. In May, we've signed up the contract for the purchase and acquisition of 100% of CBAR. The main asset is UTE Sergipe Port 1, a thermoelectric plant already operating, 1.3 GW of installed capacity, fully contracted in regulated environment until December 34. Additionally, we have adjacent expansion projects that might add to 1.3 GW of installed capacity whenever developed. This acquisition marks the advancement of an important gas hub in the northeast of the country that after 2024 will be connected to the national transportation mesh and Petrobras concessions in Sergipe and Alagoas Basin. In June, we've signed up the contract for the acquisition of Casabrau Fortaleza, 227 MW of installed capacity, an energy commercialization contract that is until December 2023. We've also made progress on gas commerce contracts supplying LNG to industrial clients, Vale and Suzano, with the beginning of the supply plan for the first half of 2024. The gas will come from Paraíba, where we will have two liquefaction units for natural gas. In that quarter, we also would like to disclose our reports for the Amazonas Basin that was put together by Grafnic Prime, and that was for April the 30th. And with some certificates here at Azulão Field, 14.8 billion and 4.7 barrels of 2P condensed reserves. With regards to the ESG commitments, in June, we just published our yearly sustainability report with an operational performance, with social environmental performance that was referenced to the year of 2021. It was the very first time that this report was audited by an independent third party. We've also published new and more comprehensive policies of health and sustainability, and you may check on our website. Now, moving to slide number four, I would like to quickly present you with the context of the energy market for the 2Q22. The recovery of the reservoirs, and that was basically a result of the high rainfall in that area, that part of the year. The production was low, and the storage levels of the reservoirs grew above the historical averages of the period, reaching an average of 95% at the month of June. In the subsystem, northeast and southeast, the reservoirs have closed the quarter with an average volume of stored energy of 66%, which was the highest level of storage for the month of June since 2012. For the other subsystems, the reservoirs were reasonably stable throughout the half of the year. And all that has contributed to 76% fall on a year-on-year basis, going from 229 reais to 56 reais. So those amounts were very close to the structural limits in all markets. Even with the low dispatch in the thermoelectric points in the second half of 2022, we've observed discrete increase compared to this year, and that was basically due to the beginning of the thermal energy generation to export to Argentina as of March 2022. In the same, the amount of energy generated for exports has gradually increased along the second Q, going from 0.18 of average gigabytes to 1.4 gigabyte average for the end of June. Now, on slide number five, given that panorama that we just showed, we didn't have thermoelectrical dispatch of the merit order in the ones analyzed. As of June, Paraíba 1, 3, and 4 gas plants started to dispatch in order to meet the bilateral contracts for Argentina with a gross generation of 133 gigabytes hour. And Altera number 2 has also started in June, registering a gross generation of 353 gigabytes hour per quarter. And this year, we've also started with the commercial operations of Jaguatirica 2, that in the second quarter has generated a gross amount of 103 gigawatts hour. And the Parnaíba ports produced 222 billion cubic meters of natural gas and Azulão 0.04 billion. And as a result of the exports to Argentina and the Jaguatirica operations, the contractual adjustments of fixed income and the impact in energy trading, the net income or revenue grew 4% vis-a-vis to the same period of last year, even with the low dispatch scenario. Now, moving to slide six, let me present you with the main impacts on our EBITDA. As mentioned, even with the lower dispatch, the adjusted EBITDA, excluding the dry wells, has recorded 503 million reais in the Q2 2022. That was 33% above the last year period. The main factors were that mentioned energy exports to Argentina, 114 million reals. Aside to that, the beginning of the operational the commercial operations of Jaguatirica has had a positive impact with 55 million reals in the generation segment through the operation of Jaguatirica. Now, the expansion of the fixed margins of the gas and coal plants have contributed to an increment of 26 million reais in the EBITDA if compared to the same period of the previous years. We've also verified a positive non-cash impact of 56 million reais in that marked position of the future contracts of the commercializing party. The negative EBITDA impact with regards to the upstream segment was a reflex of the significant reduction on the gas sales for the Paraíba plant complex due to the less energy generation. Now, moving to slide number seven, I'd like to present you with the main impacts on the cash flow. The operational cash flow has reached 306 million reais in the quarter that was leveraged by the higher EBITDA in the previous period. That result was mitigated by the need for running capital and working capital during that period and the suppliers responsible for the execution of works and equipment and the integrated project Azulão-Jaguatirica. In investment cash flow, the disbursements have summed more than 620 million reais and were basically devoted to the disbursements to pay for the Solar Futura 1 project, together with other projects that I will mention soon. The funding cash flow was positive for 0.2 billion reals, which was a result of the follow-up that was completed in June. As a result, Eneva has closed the quarter with a solid cash position of more than 5 billion reals. Now, moving to slide number eight, let's talk a little bit about the capital structure of the company. Eneva has also completed in June 2022 an issuance of debentures that totalized 2 billion reals that will have a positive impact on our cash flow in the quarter three. The net debt totalized 3.5 billion reais, and the leveraging was in 2.2 times net debt over EBITDA. The average deadline was 4.6 years at the end of the quarter, with most of the periods in 26. 60% of the debt was indexated by the IPCA, and the average spread of the debts it was a 3.7%, and for the other debts, 1.4% above the CDI. And now I'd like to give the floor to Lima, who is going to give us the details of the quarter investments and will tell us about the implementation process of our main construction projects. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. We are now on slide number 9. And we can see that the investments for the quarter have exceeded 870 million reals, and almost 60% were destined to the construction projects. In other words, Solar Futura 1 project and the UTS Parnaíba 5 and 6. And Solar Futura 1 project, the photovoltaic modules were 100% in the site, and the sectioning of the transmission line has been concluded, and the beginning of the commercial operations is estimated for 4Q 2022. For the upstream activities, investments have summed 159 million reals, out of which 57 million were associated with exploration campaigns in the Parnaíba and Amazonas basins. And we had 5 wells perforated in the beginning of the perforation of another well in the Parnaíba Basin. It's also worth highlighting 88 million reals allocated in the development of Gavião Tesoura, Gavião Preto, and Gavião Belo, and in the installation of the compressions in the Gavião Branco production station. And the gas generation UPS, we also met the contractual milestones related to the HDP gas turbines for Parnaíba 2 thermal power plant. For Azulão, Jaguatirica, we've improved performance and the cycle efficiency of both gas turbines and completion of the assembly of the water supply system in the dispenser area. Now, as we can see from slide number 10, here's an update of our thermal projects under construction. In Azulão, Jaguatirica, 2Q, we've started with the commercial operation of the third generation unit and the commercial operation of Jaguatirica's to total capacity. As already mentioned, we've completed the improvement of the performance of and cycle efficiency of the gas turbines and the water supply system in the dispenser area. Parnaíba 5, in July, we've completed the removal of the temporary pipes in July 2022. We've qualified the agreement, and we did the very first synchronism of the vapors. That, in other words, we've generated energy for the first time that is still on test. And we will also execute other tests, and the 96-hour test is scheduled for the end of August. And finally, in September, we intend to do the performance test for the final approval of the work. The beginning of the operating activities is for the end of 2022. And we've started with the civil works and for the hydrostatic tests of the boiler. And the expectation of this risk of the commercial operation is estimated for Q4 2024. And the CCAR will be started in January 2025. So for the coming slides, we have a couple of pictures of the mentioned projects. In slide number 14, we can see an aerial view of Jaguatirica, which is 100% operational, as mentioned before. And moving to slide number 15, with Parnaíba 5 to the left, and we can see the steam turbine fully finished and in operation, as I mentioned, having generated the first megawatts. And to the right, another bird's-eye view of the operating plant with the cooling tower. And in the more at the bottom, we can see the steam turbine. Parnaíba 6, the foundation works that are still underway for both the boilers as well as the steam turbine. And to the right, we can see the steel shop for the carcass of the last part. And here for the Futura project on slide 14, we would like to present that update, and the project has reached 71% of physical progress. And the greatest milestone was the completion of the transmission lines and the sectioning of the 500 kV line that was estimated to take part on Q3 of 2022, but was pushed up front, and that was shortened the critical path of the work. We've also had significant advancements in the pile driving, the setting up of the trackers, and the setting up the photovoltaic modules, the string breakers setup, and the medium voltage grid. So we've noticed here some productivity increase in all those activities throughout the 2Q 2022. Still, on the second half, 100% of the trackers and string bars, thermal photovoltaic will be completed. And additionally, we've also completed the installation of the second transformer elevator of the substation, and we've acquired the third transformer that will be kept as a reserve. Both the hot and cold commissionings of the FUVs have advanced, and the forecast of the completion is for 4Q 2022, and the beginning of the operating period for that same period of the year. And a couple of pictures here for the progress of Futura 1 in slide number 15, with photovoltaic panels installed and already in the commissioning process in the first UFVs, and the next one, 16, with the setting up of the trackers in the first picture from left to right, from top to bottom. The second picture is the excavation of the drainage slots. Third is the perforation and the crimping of the pile drives. And this is, we will set up the panels, they place the inverters, and then we will prepare the stations, and then the mid voltage transmission lines. Number 17, we can see the substation 100% complete, and to the right, the transmission line, the 400 kV transmission line that is 100% complete. And in the next slide, we can see the progress in those sectioning of the 500 kilovolt that was basically closed. Its critical path was basically closed in last July. So with that, we are now finishing the presentation part, and I thank you for attending the session, and let's now start with the Q&A session. And if you have any questions, please make sure you click on the Q&A feature to have your questions submitted. And I give the floor now. Thank you, Lino. Good morning, everyone. And the first question is to Marcelo Lopes.
Can you mention the projects under the Azulão complex, which the company needs to intends to participate in the September reserve energy auction? Well, good morning, and thank you very much for your question. First and foremost, as it's been publicized, we have recorded and registered a number of projects for this auction with even more capacity than the demand established for the auction. Some projects have been licensed by Eneva. We do hold the licenses, and we have other projects which have been, whose assignment has been negotiated. So for projects, license to participate in the project is no longer an issue for us. Everything is in the right track. What we're doing now is we are analyzing the adequate volume for us to bid, and this is going to happen in late September. Thank you, Marcelo. Next question, Marcelo Rabiba. Can you give an update on the acquisition of Bahia Terra? How's it going, and what are the expectations for the conclusion of the deal? Thank you for the question. Well, Right now, we are negotiating. We're not negotiating with Petrobras due to legal actions. There's a lot of discussion on the winning consortium, and Eneva is discussing with Petrobras. We intend to resume negotiations soon so that we can have a good conclusion of that. We had moved on in terms of pricing and sales contract and everything. We were doing good in these discussions, but so we hope that the issues are resolved soon so we can resume negotiations with Petrobras and finalize this by the end of the third Q, and we finally can acquire the project. Marcelo Lopes, as for the bilateral contract signed due to exports to Argentina, which contributed to the EBITDA this quarter, what can we wait for the next results? Did the company see this effect right in the beginning of Q3? Well, June generation was quite high. We were able to generate in Parnaíba one, two, and four, we were able to generate energy throughout the working days. This did not happen in the month of June. We did have some restrictions when it comes to exporting energy from the north and southeast regions. Our generation had a competition with wind power, resuming of water power plants and hydro plants and everything. So in June, we had smaller numbers. And now in August, we do have tests in Parnaíba 5, which prevent us from using the units of Parnaíba 1. So I believe we'll have more than July, but less than June. And then September, the demand in Argentina goes down because the temperature goes up. However, we believe there's space for us to generate some value. Of course, we're still assessing the figures to be expected there, but there's room for more volume once Parnaíba 5 is available, and we'll be able to be quite competitive as compared to the generation done internally in Argentina against the gas that the country needs to import. So even though the temperature is going up in the country and the demand for heating goes down, we believe that there's a window of opportunity to export energy to Argentina. Adding to that question, does the company has any risk in the exports to Argentina? What's the counterpart terms and payment conditions? Well, the counterpart part in operations for Eneva is Plate Enev, which is a trader that is established in Brazil that has a guarantee provided by CAMMESA, which is the Argentina system operator. And there's also a guarantee by Itaú Bank. So we have the guarantees there. And at the end of the day, we have a financial structure, and Habib can add to that. But Itaú Bank is involved. In June, we did have high generation, and we have gotten some financial resources already, so no issues. So we have a guarantee structure, a financial structure, and we understand that the operation is covered. And Habibi, if you want to add to that. No, you're right. We have a bank warranties guarantees there. There's no payment of a default on the part of Argentina. In June, our exports generated revenue for us of 114 million in EBITDA. We have costs to generate, costs to adjust the system, but the revenue received was over 200,000 billion reais, and this has been fully paid. So there's no default payment there. once again, we have no history in any issues in terms of payment from Argentina. Next question is about the September auction. Does the company have any projects in the northeast of Brazil using gas from Parnaíba? No northeast projects have been registered there. Next question. The company's financial position seems to be comfortable today to do all the disbursements estimated, but I'd like to know if the covenants are a concern to the company and if there's any perspective to get a waiver in case it's necessary. Well, thank you for the question. You're right, the leverage of the company in the second half of the year was quite low, but it's a temporary leveraging. We do have resources of the roll-on and we haven't disbursed the acquisitions yet. This will be addressed in Q3, and the major acquisition for us also will happen in Q4, and therefore leveraging will increase and should peak in Q4. We expect that it will be lower than our contractual covenants today, which 4.5% net debt over EBITDA. We have started negotiating covenants with our partners. We have assemblies called for, and many of our debentures are related to infrastructure. So this is pretty much scattered around. So the first assembly needs a high attendance, and the second assembly, generally attendance drops relevantly. So we have been successful in second assemblies, and we have been successful there. We have we have a new contractual covenant for 6.6, which we don't expect to continue. But just to highlight, we have been quite successful with the assemblies, and we expect to conclude all of the assemblies by the end of August, early September. Thank you, Habibi. Next question, Marcelo Lopez. Does the company see possibility to supply gas from Parnaíba to the Northeast in the September auction? Answer is no. There's no discussion in that sense, not even for our own projects or for projects to supply gas from Parnaíba to any other project. Just stressing the point here, the projects that have been registered for the Northeast bid, none of them have a supply or a letter of intention. Well, if there are no more questions, I'll hand it over to Rabib to close the call. Well, once again, thank you very much for being here today. We'll once again see ourselves in the earnings meeting.